The real thing is what we've been working on, this understanding of this power of compassion, beginning our year of compassion and growing in understanding what that is and how we work with it. And I don't know about you, but I'm finding there's some parts of it that are a little stretchy for me. Anybody else getting a little stretch with a compassion thing? But it's so natural for us. Just think of somebody in your life that needs some compassion. Okay, that's maybe in a struggle or a worry or having a hard time. And just for a moment, just feel your compassion for them. I hold you in the compassion of my heart. Join me.
I hold you in the compassion of my heart.
Just feel it. That, what a beautiful thing to feel for someone you care about.
Me.
Okay, yeah, you. Together.
I hold you in the compassion of my heart.
Okay, now that thing you're struggling with in you. I hold me in the compassion of my heart. Join me.
I hold me in the compassion of my heart.
Because we're almost all of the time we've got something that keeps stretching us. That's part of life. That's okay. But compassion is knowing how to work with that. Again,
I hold me in the compassion.
Now, there's so many experiences that teach us about compassion. You know, one of the things that really impacted me was not just watching the Syrian refugees on the television and the pictures that were there of them trying to find a place that was safe, of that struggle of leaving with nothing and having to make a difficult journey to another part of their world. But what touched me was the response of compassion across our globe. So many different people. Did you sense that? How compassionate people were, how caring. So in the midst of difficulties and questions, but what a response as people became aware of their plight, of compassion that really felt deep care for these people and their difficulty. One of the beautiful things that I'm discovering about compassion is just how universal it is. I appreciated the awareness that after the tragedy of the prayer group in Charleston, where the people were shot, and great difficulty in our world, certainly a compassionate response as we became aware of that tragedy, and then following that there was the burning of some black churches in the area. But what I later learned was that in response to the needs of those churches that had been burned, there were a couple Muslim groups that got together and raised $100,000 for those people. What a beautiful thing. And then I learned that immediately after the San Bernardino experience and the tragedy that was there, that Muslim groups had raised $180,000. And that their response, the message that they sent with that money from the person who spoke for them wanted to simply say that we love you from the bottom of our hearts, as they thought of these families and their pain. We love you from the bottom of our hearts, and they should know they are not alone in this calamity. We share their sorrow. What beautiful compassion. But then, in Islam, the way God is most spoken of is God the Compassionate. God the Compassionate. And, as I learned from our friend Ijaz Naqvi, whose beautiful book on the Bible and the Quran, as he was here sharing with us, and I asked him about that, and he said, actually, that's a mistranslation. It's God is compassion. I thought, well, that's what we believe. That as we experience compassion, as we send compassion, we are that divine response. We are one with that. We are experiencing that divine flow through us. What a beautiful understanding held by this exquisite spiritual path that supports so many in the growth in compassion. But then we have a class on Tuesday night where we're studying compassion, really having the time to explore it at some depth. And Jeannie Fuchsin shares that with me. And she'd been looking to share some wonderful quotes on compassion with people. But she noticed that she compiled the quotes, there weren't any from Jesus. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. To me, that he has always been the greatest and major compassion teacher. But what happens is in the translation of the Gospels, the teaching of compassion is shared not with the word compassion, but is shared as the teaching of love. And then as he explains it and focuses on it, what we see is the exquisite focus of love in the experience of compassion. Think of what to me is the ultimate compassion teaching itself. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. And then as he helps people understand, how do we live it? What do we do with this? And he focuses on that love for the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. And he explains it with this story that I'm sure we've all heard. The story of the Good Samaritan, where a man is beaten by thieves and left for dead, and along the side of the road, and a priest and Levite go by and ignore him. He says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn to take care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And then Jesus asks, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert of the law who had asked him the question replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Beautiful. Simple. I mean, there's symbols and understandings of this at many, many levels, but just add a simple understanding of what love is. It's compassionate response to the world around us. One of the things that just impacts me, and I so appreciate it this time of year when we get that chance to reflect on Dr. Martin Luther King, is the impact of the nonviolent response to the extreme oppression that was taking place within our country and within and to the African American people. And in that, what happens for me is I get a look at compassion at a different level. Now, I love what Jesus was talking about, but when you step into that other place, there's a whole other experience that begins to unfold, a whole other way of being aware of this power and what it does. And if we look at the wonderful teaching around one of the many teachings from Gandhi, who was really the model that Dr. King followed, Gandhi said, "Power is of two kinds. One is obtainable by the fear of punishment." Okay, we know that one. One is obtainable by the fear of punishment. "And the other by acts of love. Power based on love is 1,000 times more effective and permanent than the one derived from fear or punishment." That's amazing understanding of what we're dealing with, isn't it? And then Dr. King, as he was explaining working with us and explaining what happened, so often we think of it as kind of a strategy that we're now learning can help with a problem. But he was showing us a look at it at a far different level. He said, "Nonviolence means avoiding not only external physical violence, but also internal violence of spirit." Internal violence of spirit. You not only refuse to shoot a man, but you refuse to hate him. The hate kills us. But that compassion that we have to get to not express the anger or the hate for someone else, that we have to get to move beyond that thing that our anger wants to do. Wow. That heals us. So, if you would, I'd like to just invite you to join me in kind of reflecting on maybe an experience with Dr. King. Think of being back there, maybe at Selma or one of those times when he was standing there with a group of people, and you're there in that group of people, and they are standing before the people who have the guns and the power, the authority within that community, or and they're standing there to say, "This isn't right." But they're standing there with the intention to not harm those who would harm them. That's quite a place to stand in, isn't it? Wow, can you imagine being there and feeling that? As you do, let me invite you into the experience from a different teacher, from Lao Tzu. "The gentlest thing in the world overcomes the hardest thing in the world." Feel that love that they were reaching for. Feel that care, that compassion for those who were asleep in their anger and their fear. "The gentlest thing in the world, that love, overcomes the hardest thing in the world, the anger, the fear, the hatred, the guns, the bullets." That which has no substance enters where there is no space. And Lao Tzu, that which has no substance, just love, enters where there is no space, the closed and hardened heart. Says this shows the value of non-action. What's his non-action? Not giving the power and the expression to the pain that was carried, to the justifiable anger of everyone standing there saying no more. Non-action. Not responding from that place in us that sees the separation and that gets into our reactive, angry, justifiably qualities, but non-action. Giving no force to that, but the amazing experience of being, or as Lao Tzu says it, teaching without words, performing without actions, this is the master's way. Teaching without words, being, standing there in who they are, in that amazing quality of love and compassion. What a state of being, teaching without words, performing without actions. That is the master's way. What an amazing thing it is to be aware of these beings who master this incredible power and help awaken us to it. To Dr. King, Gandhi, Jesus, and the teachers, Muhammad, the great Buddhist teachings of compassion, all calling us to awaken, to teach without words, perform without actions, to let that gentle thing within us overcome the hard things in our world. There was an interesting experience that we had in our class as we were exploring compassion and trying to distinguish it from some of the things that get confused, like what about sympathy and empathy and these parts of our experience. And what happens was, as we were going through it, we realized there was a similarity in what we experienced when we would enter into that. It was that sense that something moved through us. An amazing thing, that something moved through us that was different than many other wonderful things we can feel. But what happens is, in this, we align with that power that we are one with. And through the compassion and the love, we open and express so much more. And it's worth doing. So, shall we do a little compassion this week? Up for that? Okay. So what happens is, If we're going to make this a compassionate week, okay, you can bet there's somebody in your life that's going to need a little compassion, okay? Somebody's going to get into their anger. Now you got somebody that might get into their anger and their, you know, that part of your life. That's okay. And there's a wonderful way to just prepare ourselves to have that response to them. I hold you in the compassion of my heart. Join me.
I hold you in the compassion of my heart.
Feel that. What a beautiful thing to feel. Again.
I hold you in the compassion of my heart.
What about the person that decides they have to do victim? Okay, they're in their struggle and they're in that victim part of their struggle. Can we do the same thing for them? Compassion? Together.
I hold you in the compassion of my heart.
Now, what about the one that wants to do oppressor? Okay, we all have some oppressors in our lives. That's okay. The question is, how do we respond to them? Not how do they respond. The question is, how do we respond to them? Can we hold them in compassion? Together.
I hold you in the compassion of my heart.
What a beautiful thing. Now, that one that is just plain hurting and afraid, can we do that for him? That's a little easier, isn't it? But it's wonderful. Together.
I hold you in the compassion of my heart.
Okay, that's the easy stuff. Now, the hard stuff. When you are angry, when we feel that anger, can we do the same for us?
I hold me in the compassion of my heart.
That's kind of a different response than we usually give to us, isn't it? Okay. What about when we're afraid? Can we do that? Together.
I hold me in the compassion of my heart.
What a beautiful thing. How about when we're in our victim place? Now, some of us do victim better than others. But that's okay, regardless of skill. We all get there sometime, okay? So, how about response to victim?
I hold me in the compassion of my heart.
Now, here's the harder one, when we're doing oppressor, okay? Because we do it. You know, it's part of the games we play in families. We play the games at work. Where we've got to look down a little or give a hard time to. Just every now and then it sneaks in. You don't need to admit it to anybody. It's okay. But for that part of ourselves, can we do it together?
I hold thee in the compassion of my heart.
You see that simple thing? We're just doing with the world that we are in what that divine is doing for us. For we are held in the compassion of an infinite love. Bless you.